Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There's no shortage of Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. Everybody likes to talk about him. You'll see him on documentaries. Everyone likes to bring him alongside for their issues, wherever they may be. And he makes for some pretty compelling fiction. We just talked yesterday with Scott Stiegemeyer about the Da Vinci Code. Jesus figures into that piece of fiction pretty prominently. But does the real Jesus, the real historical Jesus, the one who took on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, lived and suffered and died for us sinners, rose again from the dead, does the real Jesus survive all of the attempts to use him either to our political or to our entertainment purposes? We're going to be talking about Jesus in the media with Pastor George Borgart here in this last third hour of Issues Etc., at least first part of it. And then your final four. You chose them. These anti-amendment two ads over the last week or so, you chose your final four. And before we end today's program, we're going to ask you to weed down those final four to one, the most effective anti-amendment two ad that's running in Missouri telling the truth about Amendment 2. If you voted before, we need you to vote again. And that's coming up in 25 minutes. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor George Borgart is assistant pastor at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's written an article for the most recent Higher Things magazine titled Jesus in the Movies. George, welcome back.
Howdy.
Have you seen the Da Vinci Code movie?
Oh, yeah, I did. I couldn't talk my youth group members out of going to see it, and I noticed that they were all buzzing about it, and they were doing the business where, you know, oh, it's going to, you know, it's a good book and I want to see it. And so not able to reach them that way, I decided I would go with them. And it's quite a story.
Well, tell us the story about your experience sitting in the theater during, it didn't sound like you actually watched much of the movie, but.
I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, I'm drinking my Diet Coke and my plan was I would go with the kids and then afterwards I would deprogram them. I would talk to them about it and talk to them about what was good and what was not and, you know, and, but I had a parishioner sitting to my right, and I had kids all the way down the aisle, you know, and I'm sitting there watching the movie. Well, as the movie got more and more absurd, you know, I'm a Southerner, and I'm transplanted into Texas, and I'm becoming more Texan as I go, and I was getting kind of annoyed. As I was getting more annoyed, I was getting kind of hot, and my body language was kind of, if you ever notice that your body language can kind of give you away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my feet were kind of moving. I'm switching feet and all this jazz, and I was, evidently, I'm, anyway.
Screaming at the screen, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't doing that yet. But anyway, the sweet lady next to me leans over, and she says, Pastor, if you just look at this movie as fiction, you can enjoy this movie, and it'll be a good movie, a good story, and everything. But you have to think of it as nothing about it is true. And I looked over, and I was like, oh, thank you. That's a gift, you know. I don't need to be a punk during the movie. And I'll try to suspend disbelief and all that. Well, it was right about this point in the movie where they started talking about how the scriptures came about. And she is like, it's no sooner than 5 minutes after she makes she kind of guided me on how to properly watch a movie that they talk about this is how the scriptures came, and she says out loud, she goes, I didn't know that's how the scriptures came about. And I turned around and I said, well, they didn't come around that way. It's totally wrong. But what you might want to do is you might want to just take this movie as complete fiction, and then you can watch the whole thing and enjoy the plot and everything. She kind of gave me a nice pat on the shoulder and stuff. But that was my experience in the Da Vinci Code, where I learned how to watch a movie.
Does the real Jesus, because Jesus is a figure there, even though I don't, you know, Tom Hanks isn't playing Jesus, but of course the movie's all about who the real Jesus is supposed to be. But does the Jesus of Scripture, does he survive our attempts to turn him into, let's just talk about in terms of entertainment?
Well, everybody always, it's the real Jesus. That's a great way of saying it. Where do we find out about Jesus? In the movies lately, that was the subject of this article. Man, Jesus is everywhere this summer. I expect them to put a star out for him on Hollywood Boulevard if they haven't done it already. He's busy. What Jesus? Because you can talk about Jesus, and you can talk about this guy Jesus, this Jew in Palestine and who suffered and died in 30 AD. But unless it's the Jesus of Scripture, it doesn't do anyone any good. People have all sorts of ideas about Jesus: good teacher, radical revolutionary. In the Da Vinci Code, guy that has a wife. Oh, give me a break! And all the different things that we come up with as Jesus. Well, the only Jesus that holds is the one that comes from Holy Scripture, the one who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, died for us, not just died, but died for you and me, and rose again on the third day for us. That's the only Jesus that holds. I don't know if he survives being put into entertainment, but I know that the only Jesus that saves is the one who was crucified and died and rose again.
So what's the basic problem of learning about Jesus from the books, whether they be the Da Vinci Code or something like the Left Behind series, from the documentaries that, of course, as we get closer to the Christmas season, there'll be a few of these airing again about the Nativity. There's even a movie coming out. What's the danger here?
Well, the real danger is, what sort of Jesus are you going to get? Are you going to get the true Jesus, the real Jesus? Are you going to get some other Jesus? And if some other gospel, then there's a real danger of losing your salvation. We all are kind of like teenagers when it comes to faith. We think ourselves to be invincible. We can take in any message and it's not going to harm us. We're the most open-minded, and everybody will fall away but us. That sounds like Peter. All will turn away from you, Lord, but not I. I will follow you to prison unto death. Then the rooster crows and a couple of times, and he's already denied his Lord three times. We're very fragile. Our faith is held together by the Word. The Word feeds us. The Lord's gifts keep us in the one true faith. And we risk that when we expose ourselves or when we get our Jesus from somewhere else other than where the Lord delivers himself, which is in the Word, in the water, in his body and blood given for us to eat and drink for the remission of our sins at the sacrament. Where you hear about Jesus or what Jesus you hear is very and very important. Are you hearing about how it is with you and your sins being answered for by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Or are you hearing about something else?
We're talking about the media and Jesus. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. He's assistant pastor at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's authored an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled Jesus in the Movies. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in numbers, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I want to hear from you on Jesus in the Media. Steve is calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
One text into another. It's good to hear you.
Hey. Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Hey, what I find interesting about your comment is that whenever you see Jesus in the movie that everybody loves, he doesn't look anything like the Jesus I see in the Bible. And then when they create a movie like the Passion of the Christ, people get all offended over it because that actually gives us a glimpse of the real Jesus. And I think the problem comes down to a first commandment issue. We're remaking God. We want to remake God or remake Jesus into our own image.
Thank you, Steve. Pastor Borghardt.
You can have an idol named Jesus. Wow, that's very profound. Not necessarily the true Jesus. We make idols about idols all the time, and how we name our idols doesn't really change the fact that they're idols. We have a Jesus that allows us to do this or allows us to do that. The Omen has a powerful Jesus who overcomes evil by killing something, No, that's not the Jesus that we know, the one who was crucified under Pontius Pilate. And there's the profound statement also from the wonderful Texan, because the true Jesus is offensive. There's nothing about him that we would find attractive. That's what Isaiah says about him. When you think that all our life, all our salvation, and everything about us are wrapped up in one man who died, who was crucified, who suffered the shame of basically our electric chair, only worse, and rose again on the third day, and we say, that guy is our salvation. He is our hope, and he will not disappoint us. That's offensive, especially to a world that tries to find some sort of God inside themselves, something that they do, something that they feel, or something that they think.
One of the things that kind of amuses me, whether it's a kind of a secular approach to Jesus where he's viewed as a radical moral teacher. I mean, he's not just a good moral teacher. He's not just someone who can lay down some solid ethics for someone, but they always want to have him as this revolutionary moral teacher, or whether it's attempts on the part of perhaps well-meaning pastors to talk about this radical Jesus who's really out there. He should really interest you because he's just crazy all the time. It always ends up, this Jesus always ends up, whether it's the secular attempt or the churchly attempt, he ends up just being kind of a version of the pastor, maybe in robes and sandals. And he's not that radical at all. He's pretty tame.
He's only as exciting as the person who's talking about him. It's kind of a terrible condemnation on pastors who turn Jesus into something other than the Savior of from our sins, the one who saves us from our sins. You know, I was just thinking while you were talking about it, we do this all the time. We take Jesus and we detach him from the guy who rescues us from hell, and we turn him into something else. We could turn him into the Energizer Bunny, the one who energizes us to do good works, or the one who helps us have a successful life. You too can have your best life now, and all you got to do is do this. And we coat it with Jesus, give him a little props along the way, but that doesn't save anyone. In fact, that different gospel can lead us into all sorts of torment and hell. Hmm.
So how, given the fact that Jesus makes for good entertainment, and you mentioned before that your youth group, they found the Da Vinci Code book to be compelling. They found the film entertaining. Someone says, look, we got to find a way of packaging Jesus to compete with this. How would you respond?
Packaging Jesus. You know, I was thinking about John 6 today. The Lord starts with 5,000 and ends with 12. And one of them, at the end of him talking about the gospel, wants to betray him. And he doesn't say, hey, you know, you didn't understand what I was talking about. Let me rephrase what I said. That's why my numbers, my church attendance just dropped suddenly. He says, you guys want to go too? Packaging Jesus, he will not be packaged. He is the Lord who died on the cross for all our sins. This is how God is. You know, you want to find God. We all want to find God out in nature. I was stepping outside. Beautiful day. I hope it's beautiful in...
No.
It's not beautiful in St. Louis?
No.
Oh. Sorry about that. It's a beautiful day here in Texas. You know, I look outside. It's a beautiful day. One of our few fall days. I thought, man, God for sure is out here. No, no. He's everywhere. God's everywhere. There's that Lutheranism. But is he everywhere for you? He can be on the movies. But is he in that movie, is he the one who saves you from your sins? Is he the one that delivers what he did for you on the cross? My personal favorite, in Bible class, I wish alarms would go off and spotlights would go down on people when their religion is coming from the History Channel. But the History Channel has some wonderful programming. I hope I didn't break some rule by mentioning it. They have some wonderful programming on the History Channel, but don't get your Jesus from the History Channel. You never know what sort of Jesus you'll get. You know, you hear all sorts of different things about Jesus from the History Channel, and it's never the stuff about the one who died and rose again. It's like this. You know, when my elbow hurts, I'll use my favorite pitchers. My Mets pitchers are all injured. All right, when their elbow hurts, the first thing that they do is they go to where? The mechanic?
No.
Okay, they don't go to the mechanic. Where do they go?
Well, probably to the team doctor.
Probably to the team doctor. When my car breaks down, the first person I check with is my dentist, right? He's going to tell me how to fix my car, right?
No.
No, my mechanic does that. But when it comes to religion and faith and Jesus, we'll check everywhere. But the place where the doctor is actually at work, where the good physician is actually giving out his gifts, which is in church, where the word is being preached and is proper in its truth and purity, and the sacraments are rightly being administered. We'll go everywhere to find our religion. History Channel, the movies, film, magazine. But what about the place where Christ is delivering himself for the forgiveness of sins? WebMD, that wonderful website, is a great place. But when my mama goes to check her sicknesses on WebMD.com, she ends up with the rarest diseases. by the way, you just have a cold. You don't have the super rare disease. For us, for our salvation, we find about Jesus in the Word. It's so simple. In the external Word of the Gospel. That's where Jesus delivers himself to us, and that's where we get the pure Gospel. That Christ lived a perfect life in our place and died the death we deserve, but it didn't end there. On the third day, he rose again for us and for our salvation. As if he is risen from the dead, we too shall rise. No doubt about it.
We've been talking about the Jesus that you find in the movies or the History Channel or in the books. And here's one that's peculiar to Christians. Not completely peculiar to Christians, but it's very popular among Christians. And that is, I find Jesus in my heart. It's the Jesus in me. Who is Jesus to me? Only I can answer that question for myself. Is this where we go looking for Jesus?
Probably the last place you want to look for Jesus is inside yourself. All sorts of evil things come from inside of me. Terrible words and vile thoughts and stuff like that. The last place I want to find Jesus is in my heart. But that'll be the first place I try to look. That's my old religion, my old man, looking for God. That's like a song, like a country song, looking for God in all the wrong places. The way we find about Jesus is outside of us. How will they hear? How will they believe without a preacher? And who will preach unless someone is sent? Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So it comes from outside of you, and not inside. Don't trust what's inside. Trust what's outside. The word and the Lord's gifts.
So there are all sorts of people who are willing to tell us about Jesus. But it sounds as though, from what you've said about the real Jesus that we find in his church, in his word and his sacraments, this is more than just someone else to tell us about Jesus. The church doesn't just talk about Jesus, does it?
Well, when we do, we're not being a very good church. Not just about Jesus, not just about God. I tell the confirmads, when you tell your friends about God, don't get wrapped up in talking about God or talking about how God created you. That doesn't save anyone from their sins. In the church, we deliver Christ, Christ delivers himself to us in the word, in the water, in the bread and in the wine. He delivers what he did for us on the cross. Can't go in a time machine, jump back in time, and be at the foot of the cross. Don't have to. The gifts that were won by the real Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, are delivered to us in the word, in the water, and in his gifts. And not just being a church does it. Thank you very much. Not just the words church do it. Church is where the gospel is purely preached and the sacraments are rightly administered. That's what we say as Lutherans from the confessions. So just having church on the door doesn't mean that we're getting the good stuff. The good stuff that goes into our ears that saves us is the words and promises of Christ, the one who was crucified for us and died. The delivery of that, that's what goes on in the true church.
So this is far more than just seeing an image of Jesus flickering on the screen, or hearing information about him, even if it's accurate, on the History Channel. What the church is given to give out, what Christ gives through his church, is himself. The real deal.
Right, the forgiveness of sins that he won for us when he really did die and he really did rise again from the dead on the third day. If Jesus is all about what's going on in my heart or my mind, well, then I can manipulate and change him. If Jesus is, because Jesus is truly our God, because he truly did walk on this pile of dirt and suffer the death that we deserve and rise again on the third day, there is an objective truth about who he is and what he's about. And the only place to find that is in the external word. The only place to find that not only is Jesus a radical teacher, but he radically taught the gospel for my sake, to save me from my sins, is in the scriptures. Anywhere else, starting to get on shaky ground.
Pastor George Borghardt is assistant pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, and he's authored an article in the most recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled Jesus in the Movies. Before we let you go, George, tell us about this youth organization, Higher Things.
Higher Things is a national youth organization set up to promote Lutheran identity amongst young people. Having two conferences this year, and I understand you're teaching at the northern one, correct, in Minnesota?
That's the plan.
Yes. I'm the chair of the southern one in North Carolina. But we're all about delivering Jesus to young people into their ears so that they can have the for you of Jesus put right into their ears.
And the theme of those upcoming conferences in the summer is for you, isn't it?
Oh, for you. Right. And I hope for me, too. No doubt.
For us.
For us.
Yeah, that's the way that I think that's the way the creed says it, for us and for our salvation.
Right.
It's always good to stick with the creeds. Thank
the
you very
much. Gospel is in the for you.
Thank you very much for being our guest.
You cards, take it easy on my Mets tonight, okay?
Don't count on it, please.
Take care. God's blessings.
I guess I could have asked him to let them, you know, please, your Mets, take it easy on our cards, but I don't think that's going to have to happen. I have confidence. For more information about Higher Things, you can find them on the web at higherthings.org, higherthings.org. When we come back from this break, it's your chance to vote for your most effective anti-amendment to add. We're going to lay before you your final four. We've got them all lined up, ready to go. We're going to be playing for you, and then you need to get ready to call and vote or email and vote 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. That in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Your final four, if I remember correctly, include Doctor and Patient. That'll be the first one. The second one's going to be Dr. Richard Cole, who's been a regular guest here on Issues, Etc., a doctor, also a researcher from Washington University. There's one of those to play for you. And finally, Pam Fichter was the one you chose yesterday as the most effective of the four yesterday. We've got your final four of the anti-amendment two ads ahead, and we want to hear from you, not only Missourians, but people listening out of the state of Missouri as well. Issues, ETC, at kfuo.org or 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850. It's your choice for your favorite, the most effective anti-amendment to add. Think like someone who's undecided. And then listen to these final four, your final four, and tell us which of these four is the most effective for that person who's undecided on amendment two. These are the ads that are running from the Missourians Against Human Cloning. And we want you to hear them, and we want you to vote for which you think is the most effective right after this.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
fossil pliers? They're not millions of years old.
Answers with Ken Ham, a popular speaker and author from Australia. First of all, Ken, if you wanted to, how do you fossilize a pair of pliers?
Well, the pliers aren't really fossilized, but one pair was found encased in rock as if it were a fossil. Evolutionary geologists often claim that it takes millions of years for rocks to form. But you know, there's a lot of evidence that doesn't fit with this. In 1989, a man in Australia was walking along Queensland's Sunshine Coast when he found something fascinating. It was the tip of a handle sticking out of a mix of sand, pebbles and seashell fragments. It was rock hard. Apparently, the pliers must have fallen out of some fisherman's bag. Now, it's impossible to tell exactly how long ago this happened, but it obviously wasn't millions of years. You know, the lesson is that the rock doesn't need millions of years to form. It can happen quickly, given the right conditions. Noah's flood was only about 4,500 years ago, and this would have provided conditions to form massive rock layers all over the Earth. The sedimentary strata that contain billions of fossils could have been laid down by the flood and could have solidified into hard rock in a short period of time. You know, these fossilized pliers help to reinforce the answer from Genesis. The Earth is not billions of years old.
Using the book of Genesis, you'll discover the true history of the world. It's definitely not an evolutionary one. Next time you're on the web, visit our attractive website, AnswersRadio.com.
Do you want more of God's grace? Village Lutheran Church in Ladue is a Bible-believing church faithful to the Scriptures, a place for the whole family, a community that cares with a vibrant, historic Christian liturgy. Village Lutheran Church is located at 9237 Clayton Road in Ladue. www.villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, 314-993-1834. Dr. Dean Wenthe, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
It's the most beautiful and wonderful calling to expound the goodness and the grace of God in Christ, and to spread the good news of Christ's victory over death. You're carrying eternal good news and the life of Christ through His Word, His sacraments, and we welcome any who want to consider the ministry to visit our faculty in action, our worship, because you'll see there the word of a loving and present God who has bestowed all things in Christ.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155 or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We have talked so much about Amendment 2 on this program. We have had guests of varying levels of expertise and varying opinions on Amendment 2 into talk. We've had Don Rubin of Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. We gave him a chance to talk, and he simply, to my mind, in our interview with him, simply reiterated many of the falsehoods that are being put forth by the proponents of Amendment 2. So, as we near the time when Missouri voters are going to be voting on this thing, first week in November, this constitutional amendment that would make cloning legal in Missouri as long as the human embryo cloned by somatic cell nuclear transfer were used for destructive biomedical research. Among those various research methods, the destruction of that human embryo to harvest its stem cells, embryonic stem cell research. As we've talked about this, we've heard ads and we've critiqued the ads in favor of Amendment 2. What we've been doing for the last week or so is listening to the anti-Amendment 2 ads, those ads that come from Missourians Against Human Cloning. There are a number of them, but we broke them up into groups of four, and we asked you over the last week or so to choose from each one of those four the most effective. And today we've got your final four of these anti-Amendment 2 ads. I want you to think like someone who's undecided on Amendment 2. Listen to these final four ads that we have for you, that you have chosen, and tell us which of these four is the most effective for that person who's on the fence, for that person who hasn't been paying attention, for that person who's heard all of the ads in favor. of Amendment 2 and need to be and needs to be told the truth, think like that person and give us a call, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I saw in the paper, Jeff put this on my desk, how much money had been raised and spent by the proponents of Amendment 2. We're talking about upwards of $28 million raised, and I think upwards of about $25 million spent, mostly on the media, television, radio ads. It's expensive, you know. As opposed to, in the case of Missourians Against Human Cloning, just under $500,000 raised and just about that much spent. So their ads better be effective. Even those who are against Amendment 2 have said, look, this is David and Goliath doesn't even touch it. So their ads better be effective. That's why we're asking you, which of these is the most effective? Here's the first one of your final four. It's called Doctor and Patient.
Okay, your checkup went great. Do you have any other questions?
Well, doctor, I want your advice about how to vote on Constitutional Amendment 2.
I can tell you how I'm going to vote. I'm voting no.
Why? Won't this amendment ensure cures for serious diseases?
That's what the supporters want you to believe. However, no treatments or cures of any human illness have come from embryonic stem cell research. Real hope lies in adult stem cell research, an issue that wouldn't require a change to our Constitution.
So then what would this amendment do?
It would constitutionally protect the cloning of human embryos for use in experimentation.
But didn't I hear that it will ban cloning?
That's one of the many things that supporters are claiming that isn't true. It will allow cloning human embryos for the sole purpose of destroying them for research.
Are you serious about this?
Dead serious.
Where can I get more info?
For a list of reasons to vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2, go to the web and type in nocloning.org.
Okay. When I get home, I will go to nocloning.org. Thanks, doctor.
Paid for by Missourians Against Human Cloning, Dan Shipley, Treasurer. Know the truth. Vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2.
All right, now that is the first of your final four. You said when we put it up against three others that it was the most effective of those four that you heard. That's number one for today of your final four of these anti-Amendment 2 ads. Is it the most effective, in your mind, to convince the undecided on Amendment 2? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's the second one of your final four. It's Dr. Richard Cole, who's been a guest on this program several times. He serves at Washington University.
Here's another voice against human cloning.
I'm Dr. Richard Cole, Department Chairman at Washington University School of Medicine. Amendment 2 would allow cloning of living human embryos by a process called SDNT. The National Academies of Science, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and others clearly state that SDNT is cloning. This is the same process that cloned Dolly the sheep. I urge you to vote no on Amendment 2.
If you're against human cloning, you're against Amendment 2. Protect life. Vote no in November.
All right, that's number two. And when we put that up against the other three the second day of voting, you said that was the most effective of those four in convincing the undecided on Amendment 2. What about you today as it's in our final four? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. If you voted before, you can vote again. In fact, I encourage you to do so. Now, here's number three of the final four. It's Dr. Xiaoshen Chang of Washington University as well.
Dr. Xiaoshen Chang, Washington University Medical Research Institute, knows that human embryos are living.
The fundamental issue is, what is the embryo? If the embryo is not a live human being, then you can do whatever you want. If it is a live human being, then that's a different issue. I'm going to give you a scientific answer. It has 23 pairs of chromosomes. Whether you derive it from in vitro fertilization or if you do it from a somatic cell nuclear transfer, it still has 23 pairs of chromosomes. Now, if you take 40,000 plus genes that's in those 23 chromosomes and do a gene bank search, and what do you match it with? Homo sapien or human being. Is the embryo alive? Yes, it is. The difference is it's age appropriate for its developmental stage. So therefore, an embryo is at the earliest developmental stage of a human being. So my conclusion is this is not a scientific issue. It's a moral and ethical issue.
Amendment 2 would allow the cloning and killing of human embryos. Protect life. Vote no in November.
All right, that was number three, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Going through your final four of the anti-Amendment 2 ads, and we want to know on this last day of your opportunity to vote, which of these four is the most effective? What will emerge, of course, is our listeners' most effective anti-amendment to add. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's number four of your final four, Pam Fichter. You chose it yesterday as the most effective of the ones we played yesterday during your voting. Pam Fichter is president of Missouri Right to Life.
Here's another voice against human cloning.
This is Pam Fichter, president of Missouri Right to Life, urging all Missouri citizens to vote no on Amendment 2. This amendment will enshrine in our Constitution the right to clone and kill human embryos. Amendment 2 is an effort by wealthy individuals to purchase a constitutional amendment for their own financial gain. Human life should not be for sale in Missouri, and neither should our Constitution.
If you're against human cloning, you're against Amendment 2. Protect life. Vote no in November.
All right, now I want to hear from you, because this is your opportunity to chime in on which you think is most effective. Money has been spent, lots of money has been spent, to reach Missouri voters with the message in favor of Amendment 2. $25 million. They took every angle. Lots of money has been spent, not as much, but lots of money has been spent to convince Missouri voters against Amendment 2. We're playing those ads for you, and I want to hear which you think is the most effective to those that everybody's trying to reach, the undecided on Amendment 2. Last check, Missouri voters were split right down the middle on this issue. So the undecided will decide whether Amendment 2 passes or doesn't pass. That means the ads do have to be effective. Is it Dr. Impatient, the one you chose as your first of the final four? Is it Dr. Richard Cole of Washington University's School of Medicine? That's number two. Is it number three, Dr. Xiaocheng Chang of Washington University Medical Research Institute, explaining the simple science of the issue? Or is it number four, Pam Fichter of Missouri Right to Life, mentioning that this is a clone and kill amendment and an attempt on the part of moneyed interests to buy a constitutional amendment? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go first to the phones, where Tim is waiting in his car. Tim, welcome.
Thank you. I really like Dr. Cole's number two.
And why is that?
Well, the third one, the other WashU doctor, was really very good. But if you're not already decided and don't have strong life issues and you're on the fence and you don't really know that much about this and haven't really taken your stand or made a decision yet, I don't think that the whole science life argument is going to be as effective as the second one. And WashU has a great reputation for research and medical, you know, breakthroughs in science. And so I think that if you really didn't have, you know, the Christian perspective going in, that the two would be better than three.
All right. Thank you very much, Tim. And thanks for the call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That's one vote for Dr. Richard Cole of Washington University. There's the ad that mentions Dolly the sheep. He says, look, it's cloning. It says it would ban cloning, but it permits cloning for destructive human research. And it's the same process by which they cloned Dolly the sheep. And it's true. So Tim thinks that's the most effective of all the ones we've played in the last week and a half. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And I will remind you, you do not have to be a Missouri resident or to have a dog in this race in order to vote on which you think is the most effective. Anxious to hear from those outside of Missouri as well. issuesetc@kfuo.org or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. By the way, if you're going to email us, you do need to email us early in the program, because we'd get them late. It could change the vote totals, and I'd hate to have to come back and correct it on Monday. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I remember when we went through this round of voting, each and every one, with the exception of one of these, was not the one I would have chosen as most effective. I don't have a vote in this. I'm not going to tell you which one I think is most effective, but with the exception of one of these final four, it wouldn't have been my vote. That's why I'm anxious to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and issuesetc@kfuo.org. Please don't make me go to Jeff, because Jeff broke the tie yesterday, and he hasn't been paying attention. I mean, not as much attention. He's in there with a ball. You know what he's doing? He's got a little blue ball that he brought to work, and he's been throwing against the wall like a chimp in a cage. It's a little entertaining to watch him do it, but...
I got that ball from Harvest House Publishers.
You did? Harvest House Publishers sent you that ball?
It's not a ball. It's a ball globe. I'm catching the world.
You're catching the world in your hands. Amazing. So, look, Jeff is so bored in there. Now he's answering your phone calls because you're calling. But he was so bored in there, he was reduced to throwing a ball against the wall like a chimp in a cage. And while that's very entertaining for me to watch here, you guys don't get the benefit of that. So we want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, especially from those who voted before. Maybe your mind's changed. Issues ETC at KFUO.org. Mary calls from her car. Hi, Mary.
Hi. The last lady, I want to go along with her.
Pam Fichter, number four. Is that the one you're talking about? Why is that, Mary?
Well, I think she's right about it. I think it is a money-making thing. And I think that the government's being used. They don't want to, you know, mix religion with the government. But, they forced us into it. Because, I mean, we believe thou shalt not kill, and I sure don't believe in cloning.
Mary, before I let you go, do you think that a female voice is more effective in these ads? Do you think a female voice is more effective in reaching female voters, especially the undecided on Amendment 2?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Why is that?
Well, because she was very blunt and to the point. I mean, she didn't, you know, there was no hem-haw or anything, and I think most women are like that. They don't jitterbug around.
Mary, thank you very much. See, we've talked about this before. Whether it's any pro-life issue, I've observed that I think, at least to my ear, pro-life groups have more credibility with the undecided when women speak on this issue. It's not that the men don't have a credibility. They ought to. They're entitled to their opinion, and their thoughts count just as much. But in terms of impact, in terms of effectiveness in communicating to people, the women's voice do count. So we got Dr. Impatient, which has a woman's voice in it. And then we've got Dr. Richard Cole and Dr. Xiaocheng Chang. And Pam Fichter gets a vote from Mary. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Linda's calling from her car. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
This is my first time ever calling the station. I listen all the time, and I am voting for number one. I feel like it leads instead of having an expert telling you about the issue, it's very nice having just a regular old person discussing it with her physician. I think that really comes across well.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Linda. And thanks for calling for the first time. She's talking about number one of your final four, doctor and patient. By the way, I don't know who the woman is in the ad, but the doctor is actually a doctor. He has a separate ad of his own that didn't make it through to the final four. So here you are. I think it's the good thing about that one is it's a realistic scenario. You ask your doctor, what do you think about Amendment 2? Diane's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Todd. I vote for number three, Dr. Chang, because I think the bottom line that it is a moral issue, a violation of human life, and everything else stems from this. All of them are excellent, but I think the moral issue is the first thing to deal with.
All right, Diane, thank you very much. What struck me about Dr. Xiaocheng Chang's is that after giving all the science, he says, look, the science isn't disputable here. What we're talking about is the morality of what we're planning on doing with Amendment 2. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We've got number one. It's got a vote. Doctor and patient. Where the doctor explains why he's voting against Amendment 2. There's number two. It also has one vote. Dr. Richard Cole of Washington University School of Medicine saying that the kind of cloning that would be allowed by Amendment 2 is the same cloning that gave us Dolly the sheep. There's number three. Dr. Xiaocheng Chang of Washington University Medical Research Institute explaining the science of it and then saying it's a moral issue. It's got a vote as well. And number four has one vote. This is a four-way tie, by the way, at this point. Pam Fichter of Missouri Right to Life calling the amendment a clone and kill amendment that would be, in effect, putting the Constitution up for sale. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Dave calling from his car. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I want to vote for number two. He's from Washington University, which commands respect. He was very clear and concise and to the point. Number three had a lot of science, but you almost got lost in all the science.
Yeah, I imagine that could happen as well. So you're voting for number two. That puts Dr. Richard Cole of Washington University, that ad, in the front so far. Let's see what Al has to say, calling from his car. Hi, Al.
Hey, I kind of voted for that fourth one just because I felt like if you're trying to be effective, I kind of like the second one the best, but if you're trying to be effective, I think the one where you're trying to realize that it's a money deal is going to catch more listeners' ears, and I think that they'll probably be swayed by the fact that this Constitution Amendment is kind of like an open checkbook to any kind of research they want to do, and we're going to be paying for it off the top. And so if that, I think that's going to catch more people's ears because, unfortunately, more people aren't about morals. They're about their pocketbook. So
I think you've touched on something there, Al, so thank you very much. That gives number four two votes. So far it's a two-way tie between number two, Dr. Richard Cole of Washington University, and Pam Fichter of Missouri Right to Life. Which is your most effective anti-amendment to add? Here's Roland calling from South City. Hi, Roland.
Hi, I like the third one. I like the phrase about what is life. Brings it right to the heart of the issue.
You mean, so when he's talking about life in the scientific sense?
Yes.
Roland, thank you very much. Well, he says it's a matter of genetics. Let's hear these things again. We've got four of your final, it's your final four of the anti-amendment to ads after four consecutive days of voting here on issues, et cetera, and we're asking you to choose of these four, finally, the most effective anti-amendment to add. We begin with the one that's titled Doctor and Patient.
Okay, your checkup went great. Do you have any other questions?
Well, Doctor, I want your advice about how to vote on Constitutional Amendment 2.
I can tell you how I'm going to vote. I'm voting no.
Why? Won't this amendment ensure cures for serious diseases?
That's what the supporters want you to believe. However, no treatments or cures of any human illness have come from embryonic stem cell research. Real hope lies in adult stem cell research, an issue that wouldn't require a change to our Constitution.
So then what would this amendment do?
It would constitutionally protect the cloning of human embryos for use in experimentation.
But didn't I hear that it will ban cloning?
That's one of the many things that supporters are claiming that isn't true. It will allow cloning human embryos for the sole purpose of destroying them for research.
Are you serious about this?
Dead serious.
Where can I get more info?
For a list of reasons to vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2, go to the web and type in nocloning.org.
Okay. When I get home, I will go to nocloning.org. Thanks, Doctor.
Paid for by Missourians Against Human Cloning, Dan Shipley, Treasurer. Know the truth. Vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2.
All right. That's number one of your final four. It's got one vote so far, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's number two, Dr. Richard Cole of Washington University School of Medicine.
Here's another voice against human cloning.
I'm Dr. Richard Cole, Department Chairman at Washington University School of Medicine. Amendment 2 would allow cloning of living human embryos by a process called SDNT. The National Academies of Science, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and others clearly state that SDNT is cloning. This is the same process that cloned Dolly the sheep. I urge you to vote no on Amendment 2.
If you're against human cloning, you're against Amendment 2. Protect life. Vote no in November.
That's the second of your final four. It's got two votes. It is tied with number three, Dr. Xiaosheng Chang of Washington University Medical Research Institute.
Dr. Xiaosheng Chang, Washington University Medical Research Institute, knows that human embryos are living.
The fundamental issue is, what is the embryo? If the embryo is not a live human being, then you can do whatever you want. If it is a live human being, then that's a different issue. I'm going to give you a scientific answer. It has 23 pairs of chromosomes. Whether you derive it from in vitro fertilization or if you do it from a somatic cell nuclear transfer, it still has 23 pairs of chromosomes. Now, if you take 40,000 plus genes that's in those 23 chromosomes and do a gene bank search, and what do you match it with? Homo sapien or human being. Is the embryo alive? Yes, it is. The difference is it's age appropriate for its developmental stage. So therefore, an embryo is at the earliest developmental stage of a human being. So my conclusion is this is not a scientific issue. It's a moral and ethical issue.
Amendment 2 would allow the cloning and killing of human embryos. Protect life. Vote no in November.
Okay, we're talking about it off the air. That's the problem. We got a little debate going on, which we think is the most effective. That was number 3. It's got 2 votes. It's also tied in that 3-way tie with number 4, which is Pam Fichter of Missouri Right to Life. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's number 4 of your final 4.
Here's another voice against human cloning.
This is Pam Fichter, president of Missouri Right to Life, urging all Missouri citizens to vote no on Amendment 2. This amendment will enshrine in our Constitution the right to clone and kill human embryos. Amendment 2 is an effort by wealthy individuals to purchase a constitutional amendment for their own financial gain. Human life should not be for sale in Missouri, and neither should our Constitution.
If you're against human cloning, you're against Amendment 2. Protect life. Vote no in November.
All right, we got 2 minutes left. I see one line lit, and there's still plenty of time to take phone calls. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Cindy calls from South County. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I want to vote for Dr. Chang.
Dr. Xiaocheng Chang. Why so?
When he used the term age-appropriate, that, and I've heard, the only place I've heard him is on your station, and the first time I heard it, that thing just grabbed me because I've got friends who are like science teachers and things like that, and I've talked to them about that, and I said, look, you started life as an embryo.
All right, Cindy, we got to let you go, and I like your comment there. Let's see what Don has to say, calling from line 2 there, Buzz. Don's calling from his car. Don, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm going to vote for number 2. I think that he clearly states that this is cloning, and I think that's been one of the big confusion factors in this whole thing.
Don, I agree with you, and our time is short. Let's see what Faith has to say, calling from her car. Thanks for everybody. Faith?
I vote for number 4. Number 1, there would never be enough time to ask a doctor a question like that.
All right.
Number 2 and number 3 had too much information, too much detail. Number 4 was direct to the point, and you understood what she was explaining.
All right, thank you very much. Let's see what Catherine has to say, calling from her car. Hi, Catherine. Which is it and why?
Hi. I pick number 1 because I think it addresses some of the issues that most Missourians are thinking about, namely the lies that it will not allow cloning, which it does, and those kinds of things.
All right, thank you very much, and thanks for being brief. Sorry to cut you off, folks, because our time is really winding down. Eric from Olathe, Kansas, writes via email, I vote 3. Again, it is a pro-life position boiled down to truth. It's quintessential. It addresses, as the doctor said, the only real question, is it human? Yes, it is. That makes number 3, Dr. Xiaocheng Chang of Washington University Medical Research Institute. That ad is your most effective anti-amendment to ad. Thanks for all the votes. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. You know, pictures can often help teach complex biblical truths. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for October is a picture book for young children. It's titled The Apostles' Creed, and it's published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. Or you can read a detailed description of The Apostles' Creed on our website, issuesetc.org. The cost is $9.99 plus shipping and handling. Our October book of the month, The Apostles'